Thank you, Pastor Buck, for your introduction. I also want to thank and welcome each one of you here this afternoon. I hope all of you have had a chance to read the update from the board that was posted on Facebook and our website page about being able to gather again in his house of worship. Things are in the works that we will be able to gather in a way that keeps all members, each member of our body, safe and healthy. I've entitled my message today, "Sometimes It's an Uphill Climb." I've had a couple of songs running through my mind this week. The title of this message comes from a line of a song I believe the Timbrels sang, and that line is, "Marching into Zion, it can be an uphill climb." I'm not sure those are the exact words, but it was something like that. When we use that phrase, uphill climb, we're saying it's going to be a difficult process. But it is also a positive phrase. It makes us think about, although something is difficult, we can do it. It's within our power. We have the ability to be successful. Remember that. It's been about 11 weeks today since we have had our last service together in this church building. We now live in a world of quarantines and face masks and elbow bumps. We miss social gatherings and just the simple act of joining a friend for a cup of coffee. Our life has not been turned upside down, but it has been turned into an uphill climb in so many ways. And it has affected each one of us in different ways. If I could ask each one of you, on a scale from 1 to 10, how difficult this has been for you, with 1 being not too bad and 10 being unbearable, we would fill up that line. And depending on the week or the day or the situation, our numbers would change. I want to begin in the book of Psalms, the 139th Psalm, verses 12 through 18. Again, we're going to start in the book of Psalms, 139, verses 12 through 18. Last Sunday morning, I read just verse 14 of this, but this afternoon I want to read and then talk about verses 12 through 18. Again, we're in Psalms 139, verses 12 through 18. "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." David said, "Nothing is hidden from God. He fully sees and understands his creation, each one of us as an individual. Nothing is hidden from God. He knows us from the inside out." Verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. For thou hast possessed or formed or created my reins, my mind. What controls me? In my mother's womb, from the very beginning. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth that right well." On Sunday morning, I brought out the original meaning of the words fearfully and wonderfully. Fearfully means reverently, respectfully, and wonderfully means different or unique. We understand from these verses that we are each God's precious creation, marvelous, in fact. We often don't see ourselves, or more importantly, we don't see each other as respectfully, reverently, uniquely made by God. God made each one of us with respect, reverence, and uniquely. We must always treat each other the way He has made us, with that same respect, reverence, and uniquely. Verse 15, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." Substance here refers to our power or strength or our load limit, what we are able to bear. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret or privately and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Curiously means skillfully made, as in a tapestry or a weaving. We are made with great care. And he understands our limitations. He is our creator. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being made unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being made unperfect. This word substance here is different from the word used in verse 15. Here, substance means a mass or imperfect. The word unperfect means unformed. He knew us before the foundations of the earth. The last line of that verse reads, and in thine book all my members, or days, were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God knew us and the days of our life before we had life. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. God's thoughts of us, his desires of us, they are great and precious and many. Verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. If we could count the times in our lives when God thought about us, or provided for us, or watched over us, took care of us, even before we really knew him, they would be as uncountable as the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. When awake, God is on my mind. When I go to sleep, God is on my mind. As God walks daily with thoughts of me, I walk daily with thoughts of him. This is the God whom we serve daily in the midst of this uphill climb. A God who knows and understands our limits, knows and understands our weaknesses, and wants to teach us how to grow stronger and closer to him. But just as these verses teach us that we are each uniquely made, we each handle things differently. For some, the changes this COVID-19 has brought have not been too difficult. Be grateful and thank God for that. It's been a chance to slow down a bit, an opportunity to catch up around our homes, start and actually finish some projects. For others, the changes have had to be something they've had to adapt and adjust to. Be grateful and thank God. He's the one teaching us how to handle these situations. It's been disruptive in our lives, and it has created more stress, but it's manageable. For others, it has been extremely difficult and very stressful. Still, be grateful and thank God, for you have been curiously, wonderfully, and fearfully made. You can do this with God. I think especially for people who have had no break from their work and responsibilities. In fact, they have been required to take on more responsibilities in order to continue working during this time. It has been very difficult. Please keep that in mind, that it has affected each one of us very differently. I think often of young people and the disruption of their young lives, how it's affected the children of all ages, preschool through all levels of education. There is none that have not been affected in some way. But we can and do trust God and His Word. All these days were written and laid out before there were none of them. God has a timeline and a reason and a purpose for all things. Our responsibility and our hope during these difficult times is to cling more closely to Him, not only for ourselves, but for all those around us whom our life touches. It is so important to live our faith before all people. Let the light of God in our lives shine out as He desires, brightly, confidently, showing a way to a place of refuge for others during this calamity. We are each God's personal creation. And what are His thoughts of us? They are to be successful through Him. The same as a parent, we think of our own children. What do we want from them? What are our thoughts? We want them safe and healthy and able to deal with whatever life brings. God feels the same about us. He wants us safe and healthy and able to deal with whatever life brings. And life brings challenges, difficulties, and stress. But life also brings beauty and peace and joy and understanding, especially to those full of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. In reality, we have all had difficult and stressful times before we were quarantined, while we are in quarantine, and we're going to have difficult and stressful times when this quarantine is over. Staying in Psalms, I want to go to the 57th Psalm. There's only about 11 verses in Psalms 57, and I want to read the whole Psalm. Again, going to Psalms 57, and we'll be reading the whole Psalm. I want to begin with just verses 1 and 2. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God the Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. In the midst of these calamities, we must follow David's example. Cry out to God, trust Him, and head under the shadow of His wings for protection and comfort and a time to gather strength from Him. These calamities will pass. It's often way longer than we care for, but they will pass. Nothing lasts forever. But from this calamity, there may come changes that will become a normal part of our daily life. But we can trust God that even while in the midst of these calamities, God will respond to our cries. Listen and read along with me verses 3 through 5. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him, or it, the calamity, that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. God not only hears our prayers, but he responds to our prayers with his mercy and his truth. He comes with help. His truth is our foundation. It stabilizes us when things are unsure. Even when we're still in the midst of a calamity, always remember, God is in control. Continue to thank and praise him through all things, good and bad. Don't let our tongues become a sharp sword that injures others. Keep our focus on God and what he is doing, not only seeing the calamity. Sometimes in these situations, we can lose our focus and not see that God is right there where we need him. It's up to us to go and seek refuge under the shadow of his wings. Verse 6, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. We cannot control people or situations or the calamities of our life, but God can. And he does, as the scripture teaches us. He works all things together for the good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. But what do we have control over? Our hearts, to begin with. Reading verses 7 through 11. We do have control over our hearts and our minds. Sometimes our hearts need a little fixing, getting back to center, and our soul needs lifting up. God can handle that. But we must go and seek him and his guidance. It's a funny thing, because when we feel like we don't want or we don't feel we can manage that uphill climb, but we have to start that uphill climb and continue. And it begins and continues with prayer, talking to our Father. Verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed or centered on God. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Whether you awake early to sing your praises to God or to lift up your voice in prayer to God, or you do it in the afternoon or in the evening, it makes no difference. What is important is that we all find some time during our day to spend with God, especially during this time of change. We need to be very conscious of what, how, and when we make time for God. For Mike and I personally, we've kept our schedule kind of the same, especially for service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 is Sunday school. Sunday afternoon at 1 is our afternoon service with prayer. Wednesday night at 7 is the Bible study with prayer. And Friday night is also our prayer night. You will schedule your life for what is most important to you. And then your life will function around what you make most important, what you keep center. If that is God, you will have his peace and his guidance. You will feel safe and secure in the midst of this calamity with God as your center. Continuing in verse 10, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens and thy truth unto the clouds. There is no limit to his grace and his mercy. Take advantage of that. A God who is there for each one of us whenever we need him, he is truly just a prayer away. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. We do have control on how we choose to handle the calamities and the stresses of our life. Recognizing and using that control over what we can is so helpful. At least we can feel like we're making progress in this uphill climb, instead of feeling run over and ready to quit. It's when we lose our focus on God, when we feel ready to quit, or we feel like we've been run over on this uphill climb. Run under the shadow of His wings. That's not just a place of refuge, but it is also a place of gaining new strength, a place of gaining a clearer perspective of things, a place where our soul, mind, and heart can be restored. I want to go into the New Testament in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 10. Again, in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 6 through 10. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 10. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, who created light, same God who created us, He has shined light in our lives, bringing with it the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Beautiful words. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This walk with God, with His Spirit inside, is a deeply personal, up-close, face-to-face walk with Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have inside His Spirit in this earthen vessel, this human body. Paul calls it a treasure. The excellency of that treasure, the power, dunamis, life-changing power of God, shines through our earthen vessels. It is God that should be seen through us, and it is a treasure. His Spirit inside is truly my most precious possession. Picking up in verses 8 and 9, we are troubled or hard-pressed on every side, yet not distressed or crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Those are some powerful and encouraging words from the Apostle Paul. Verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Jesus died in order to give us a life like this, one that through His Spirit we would be able to go through times of difficulty, times of despair, times of feeling cast down, even times of feeling forsaken. I mentioned at the beginning that there were two songs that were going around in my mind this past week. The other song was the last song that was sung last Sunday after service. And I think the title is When I Call on Jesus. If you don't remember it, I really recommend you go back and you listen to that song. The words are so beautiful and so uplifting. In fact, Inger encouraged all of us to listen closely to those words and keep them in our minds. Excellent advice. The chorus says, "When I call on Jesus, all things are possible. I can mount up on wings like eagles and soar. When I call on Jesus, mountains are going to fall, 'cause he'll move heaven and earth to come rescue me when I call. I can mount up on wings like eagles and soar. Mountains are gonna fall, 'cause he'll move heaven and earth to rescue me when I call." Those words brought me a great deal of comfort this week. I especially love, "Mountains are gonna fall, 'cause he'll move heaven and earth to rescue me when I call." That is the kind of loving, merciful, gracious God that we serve, and his Spirit lives inside of us. What a privilege. I want to stay in the New Testament and go to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 9 and 10. New Testament, the book of Romans, 12th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Again, we're in Romans, 12th chapter, verses 9 and 10. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Let it be unfeigned or sincere. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, with respect, preferring one another. These words are so important for us to do and live. We read those scriptures in Psalms, how God made each one of us fearfully or respectfully and wonderfully, uniquely. It is very easy to be kindly affectioned with the ones who agree with you and think like you. But the challenge comes with the ones who don't agree with you, who don't think like you. And we certainly have seen that as we've had to deal with this virus. Sometimes when talking with others and you disagree on how to handle things, I think one way, you think the other way. As we begin to talk and we don't agree with what the other is saying, you can feel that inside. You can feel that emotion of anger or indignation. It's okay to feel that, but you must respond with kindly affection, respect, love. Takes your Holy Ghost. Remember, as a body of believers, we make decisions that will benefit the whole body. Don't let your tongue be a sharp sword. While listening to a newscast, the mayor of Anchorage used a phrase that I really appreciated. In speaking about how to open things back up, much care and thought goes into each action. COVID-19 is still here. It does not rule our lives, but it is something that each one of us must take responsible actions to protect ourselves and others. He used a phrase. He said, "We each have an increased personal responsibility." And think about that. We each have an increased personal responsibility. Mike and I will make decisions that will protect our health and safety. At the same time, we're aware of the different health needs of the members of this family and God, whom we dearly love. Mike and I have a responsibility to ourselves and to each other, and our family and God, and this community, to make responsible decisions. Your safety and health is as important to me as my own safety and health. Please keep that in mind as we're moving forward, and we are moving forward. Let's look at a couple of more scriptures about how God expects his people to behave when dealing with each other. Go to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 29 through 32. Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 32. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Corrupt communication will not proceed out of a closed mouth. Corrupt communication will not proceed out of a closed mouth. And sometimes it's the hardest thing to do, not say anything at all. I always remember an invaluable lesson our pastor Alice taught me. And now you've heard me say it before, but it bears repeating. She told me one time, "You don't have to say everything you think." It made me stop, and it made me think. That is a lesson that each one of us can benefit from. You don't have to say everything you think. Another good advice I've had since I was a young person, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Instead of corrupt communication, because that would be a tongue like a sword, corrupt communication. Communicate that which is good, that edifies. This word edify is to uplift and inform. You listen and hear what a person says, and then you respond according to the need of the moment. That type of communication ministers grace unto the hearers. But that type of communication takes the control of the Holy Ghost over the most unruly member of our body, our tongue. Sometimes these types of conversation can get out of control. That's not edifying. Someone must bring it back into control of the Holy Ghost and respond according to the need of the moment. And it may be that you need to agree to disagree. Easy words to say, but hard words to swallow. Because we all feel we are right in our own minds. And often, we are right in our own minds for ourselves. For instance, in dealing with this virus, we all make decisions to keep ourselves and our families safe and healthy, but that will be different for each family. What Mike and I choose to do may not work for your family. What you feel may not be what I feel. But what is the most important thing? That we all remain as safe and healthy as possible. Because I love you and I want you around, I'm going to make decisions that benefit the whole body, not what just benefits Mike and I. I'm going to obey guidelines and protocols that are put in place to to benefit the whole body and the community. I'm going to be respectful of your thoughts and feelings. And if necessary at times, and I have to go out of my way to accommodate you, I happily will, because you are my family and God, and I care very deeply about you. We're funny. We're funny people. We want people to agree with us and think like us. But remember the scriptures I began with. We are respectfully and uniquely made by God. We are all different, yet we all deserve to be treated as that respectfully, uniquely, holy, because that Holy Ghost is inside of us, creation of God. Going on to verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. If we behave like these scriptures teach on a daily basis with each other, we will not grieve the Holy Spirit. Instead, we will please God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't lose focus. Cleave unto that which is good. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. When I read verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice be put away from you. I don't want any of that in me. How awful it would feel to have that ugliness growing inside. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking that is corrupt. All of that must go in order for us to be and do, as verse 32 says, be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Always remember what God has done for each one of us. If we can really do that, keep that uppermost in our hearts and our minds, what God has done for each one of us, that will help us live these scriptures. I want to finish this afternoon in the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 17. Staying in the New Testament, the book of Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against thee, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. As the elect of God, and we are the elect of God because we have the Holy Spirit inside, put on bowels of mercies. It's tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. With those godly traits in us, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, we will be able to forbear or bear with one another, forgive one another, as Jesus has forgiven us. Above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, unity. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We are called into one body and thankful. We are all thankful to be a part of this body of Jesus that he has placed us in. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Our love is like that proverbial old couple that love each other to death but can drive each other nuts. But our lives are fuller and richer because of the love we have one for another in this family of God. Let his peace rule in our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom. The word dwells in us richly in all wisdom when we take time to put that word in our hearts and our minds through study and prayer. He will not dwell in you richly if you're skimpy on your study and your prayer time. So that when we open our mouths, out comes words that are kind, uplifting, that truly minister grace to the hearer. Truly think about that from this point forward. Let the words which come out of your mouth be kind and uplifting and minister grace unto the hearer. Start that at home with your family members. Let it reach out to this family of God, and let it reach out even further into our community. I truly cannot think of better words to finish this afternoon than verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Our singers and musicians will be coming up at this time. Please take a little time to find a place to pray. I ask you to pray for wisdom and understanding and patience as we move forward together as a family in God, truly loving one another as God loves us, working to not grieve the Holy Spirit, but instead working to please God by thinking a little more of others and a little less of self. I love and miss you all, and thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. May God bless and keep you all safe.